wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to another week of the Gridiron Guys. Another huge week of playoff football, huge implications going around the league. Plenty to talk about, plenty to get absolutely stuck into. But joining me as always, Cam, how are you doing this week?
Well, thanks, mate. Probably not as good as you. Probably for the listeners at home, we want to announce Zach is actually 5 years' time. Not only will he be doing NFL podcasting, he'll also be fixing your teeth as a dentist. So that's congratulations to you, mate.
Yeah, no, man, it was a hard slog. I hated work that much that I decided I want to go back to uni for another half decade. So it'll be sick, but I suppose I'll have a bit more time to focus on this.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the hex bill will be through the roof, but we'll be watching plenty of NFL.
No, I'm really keen to get stuck in. It'll be good. But no, as I said, the main thing is to be able to watch a lot more NFL and consume heaps more content. So as a, you know, genuine punter, really, love, can't get any more of that, to be honest. So, but as I said, there's plenty to get through this week. There was heaps of news coming out. I suppose the big one was the retirement of Tom Brady. Now, putting Adam Schefter's early blow aside, he got into it, but Tom finally officially announced it and it's done. He's retired after, 22 seasons. He's hung up the boots, which is probably fair enough. He's had a good crack at it. I think he's probably squeezed enough out of the lemon and got all the juice he could.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's something we kind of anticipated for a few years, but it's kind of weird thinking that he's just not going to be there in the league anymore. I mean, as you said, 22 years, a lot's happened since then. I suppose there's been so much happening in the world of football. He's changed the game, but I suppose when you look at his stats this year, it's hard to say that over the last 2 years, like he's retiring on huge numbers, like throwing up probably the most passing yards in the league, his most passing touchdowns. He's still playing at a phenomenal level. And I think Tony Romo said, oh, geez, you could see him in a couple of years make the return like Michael Jordan did. I don't think it's going to happen, but look, it's an end of an era. And look, as much as we didn't like him as Patriots, we didn't like the Patriots with him because we're Denver and Ravens fans. So we saw them plenty of times in the playoffs. It is sad to see him go.
Yeah, well, I think you either retire a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, a la Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, those type of guys. So he's definitely making a great choice. He's retiring out on top, as you said, but I don't think he could do much more. It was, unfortunately, I suppose it makes a point, maybe reading into the media a bit. I did mention Adam Schefter. He blew his load fairly early, got in a couple of weeks, days. And I think, did it almost just for you spoil it a little bit, the whole announcement? You know, it was nice waking up, all the content, ESPN put out the videos and those sorts of things, but it was kind of like spoiled to just a little bit because it wasn't him being able to come out and, you know, do it on his own terms, really. It feels like they took that away from him almost.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely tarnished sort of his swan song of him saying, oh, I'm out of here, I'm done. I know he wanted to do it on his own terms. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It came out. There's got to be something to it that he knew something, Schefter knew something, because even TB12 Sports, his company, his brand, put a tweet out saying all this sort of stuff. So, I mean, it was common knowledge for most people, but I guess he just wanted to do things on his own terms as he always does. Yeah, I agree. It did take the shine off it. We kind of got not excited, but as you said, all the posts came out and then he said, nah, it's not happening. I might not retire. And then lo and behold, 2 days later, he's done.
Yeah, no. So, as you said, they clearly knew, but that's all right. At least he got to go out. He did a nice little Instagram post, which was good. But it begs to differ. I think, is Gronk going to retire now, do you reckon?
Geez, yeah, he'd be crazy not to. Man's got enough money from what's-her-name carrying him his career, got him a few extra dimes at the end of the season. But, yeah, look, he might do bow his way out. Yeah, one thing I did like Brady do, he put a little post up saying you're next to Lamar Jackson sharing his post. So must see some special things out of El Mate Lamar.
Yeah, that's wild considering the rise of Drew Locke that we're going to see in the next couple of years. But anyways, we'll just ignore that post now.
Yeah, put that one on the back burner.
But as you said, there's a couple other things as well, a few other pieces moving around. Another big thing that came out this week was the new Washington football team name. Why can't I remember it?
Commanders.
The Commanders. Yes, the Commanders. Now, obviously, too much fanfare and everything, everyone has blown up either for or against, and I think you either sit on one side of the camp. To me, look, I think it's not a bad name. There was a few other ones like the Admirals, I think, and I think they were sort of leaning towards that sort of idea. But I think the Commanders seemed nice. They pretty much stuck with the similar sort of W and all that sort of stuff as they had with the football team. But I suppose realistically, whatever they came out with, I don't think they were going to satisfy all parties, were they?
No, it's one of those things I suppose is going to grow on people. There's teams that have changed names, like Cleveland Guardians, I think got absolutely more of a spray. I'm not a huge fan on that one. We put a little poll out on our Instagram and yeah, look, it has divided opinion. I suppose we've had a few votes. What were 58% like the name and the uniforms and 42% don't. So look, it's pretty divided down the middle. I suppose you're going to get that all across America as well. Some people are going to embrace it. Some people are going to blow up and hate it and just defy it, be defiant against it just purely on the fact that they don't like it. It'll grow on people. The uniforms are smick. I think they'll look good next year, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, they take this away. It's a nice bit of confidence. They still obviously got a trash organisation. We all know that, but at least they're going to look good next year.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose we did see a little bit of speculation that they're going to go out swinging for a big QB in the off-season, so that'll be one to watch out for the Commanders.
Yeah, huge by them. Big swingers as well. There was some movements around in the coaching. Now, I think probably the biggest one to come across was the Brian Flores. Obviously, we were all, you know, gobsmacked to see him get fired. But the interesting thing now is that he is suing the NFL and multiple teams, I think three or four that he was interviewing for, and due to racist, you know, connotations in the hiring and things like that.
Yeah, that's right. I guess he's saying he's not getting a fair crack at it. This kind of came out with the Bill Belichick text. Now, reading into a bit of the woo-woo and the tinfoil hat stuff, do you think Bill Belichick knew what he was doing by sending that text? He already knew who he was sending it to and accidentally said he accidentally sent it to the wrong Brian when he meant to send it to Brian Daboll. I suppose that got the wheels in motion and led to him saying, well, I haven't even been interviewed yet and they've selected the guy. He's saying, why am I not getting a fair crack at this?
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, surely a man of Bill Belichick is not. I know he's a crafty man, but is he this crafty that he's going to undo the NFL from the inside out? However, look, I think it was probably just an honest mistake, and unfortunately, but probably the good thing about it is that it is now provided sort of a smoking gun almost for Flores to take to the NFL. Like, we do have a look, and he was the last active black head coach, correct me if I'm wrong. But now, obviously, there's none in the league currently. So, look, I mean, you could make the argument always that, you know, maybe there weren't enough right candidates of different color skin and all those sorts of things. I'm sure the NFL would make those. But now they actually have a clear picture of, yeah, okay, people are obviously judging maybe a little bit. There's definitely some substance there to it. We all sort of knew it, but there was no sort of substance to hold on to, was there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I suppose it's hard to, we don't know a huge amount about it, so we don't want to dive into it too far because we don't have, our knowledge on it isn't huge, I suppose. And as you just said, like, he was the last black head coach with, I suppose, I think David Culley, the Texans head coach, who was only there for 1 year. Mm. And they fired him as well. Like, I mean, Texans were horrible, but they were better than we anticipated. So I didn't understand the reasoning for his firing. People in the locker room apparently liked him. Flores, same sort of thing, I suppose. He got them good wins down the stretch, did enough, but didn't do enough to keep his job. So we don't know what the go is there. But then they're bringing out things like he was offered money by the Dolphins head owner, $100,000 a game if they lose a game to get a better draft pick. And then we're seeing Browns head coach, I think it's Jim Caldwell maybe, saying the same thing happened with him. I know, like, they've been shit for years, but if that's actually the case, that's just pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly see it. I mean, look at the Giants. They ran a QB sneak on 3-9 at their 5-yard line this year. So, I mean, I think we all knew that tanking was existing. We, again, obviously didn't know it was to this degree. And that's why I'm saying this is sort of just going to start unraveling this piece of twine. And so Belichick, whether knowingly or unknowingly, has sort of started this, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And I'm sure more and more people will come out because, as we've said before, the NFL's got a pretty hefty rug and they've swept a lot under there. So, Maybe it's getting a little bit too tight and it's starting to stretch at the seams and we're starting to see a little bit break off in the middle here and there and some stuff's going to start leaking out.
Yeah, I reckon post-Super Bowl, this is really going to start to play out. I reckon they'll try and keep it under wraps until then. And then once the off-season hits, this could hit the fan. And look, we hope it gets resolved and we hope things get worked out. Now, looking on the NFL head coaches sort of carousel, few teams are looking for a coach, few teams have named coaches. I think we can go have a look and go through them and give your thoughts, I suppose. Firstly, Raiders hired Josh McDaniels. I suppose he's been looking for a head coaching role for a little while, been touted for a few teams in previous years, but he's finally landed with the Raiders.
Yeah, been that understudy of Bill Belichick again, same kind of guy out of the Patriots. Offensive coordinator off the top of my head, Dior. So you can imagine that he's actually done quite well. Like, you see the past couple of years, considering what he's had, he's obviously had Brady for years, so it's been quite set and forget. But these last 2 years, they've shown quite a good stretch and been able to play call quite well. So you hope that he steps into the line and makes that a bit of a change. So we'll see some good out of the Raiders.
Yeah, look, I'm keen to see how he goes. I think they were a bit disappointed, some of the players. The interim head coach got him to the playoffs and did a fantastic job, and they didn't offer him a head coaching role for what reason, I don't know. But I think a few people were really disappointed with that one. The next team is the New York Giants. Now, this is the case of the other Brian, Bills offensive coordinator for the last 3 years, who's been very good. I suppose the Bills have been a dominant team, in Brian Daboll.
Yeah, look, again, don't hate this as well. I think the trend is going to be getting offensive coordinators on because they can clearly do that offensive play calling. We've seen that. That seems to work better, doesn't it? You get that offensive coordinator on to do that, and then you get like a separate defensive coordinator to call the defensive side of the ball and play on that. So, look, I like it. The Bills have obviously been quite good as well. You see they're quite creative with what they're play calling and their drives. So I hope, well, I mean, it's going to take a miracle to fix those idiots, isn't it?
Yeah, look, he said they're going forward with Daniel Jones. I don't know how well that's going to go. Could be very smelly, but look, we'll see how they go. Daboll's a quality coach, so we'll see. Next one, Chicago Bears have found their man in a defensive coordinator from the Colts, and I suppose the Colts being a defensive powerhouse the last little while could be a good fit for the Bears, but I don't know how that bodes for the, production of Justin Fields going forward.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously you got to get someone in that you think is going to mold Fields, because they're looking at him going, this is our guy. He's our franchise QB for the next 5 years. It's not like a Mitch Trubisky type thing where they traded up and, well, I mean, they thought he'd be the franchise, but he clearly was never going to be. But this guy, they're clearly putting all their eggs in one basket. So you hope that he can do a job in there. They've got an opening. Detroit obviously stink. Minnesota, they're thereabouts. And obviously the Packers, if Rodgers goes, it just opens a hole in their division. So it's ripe for the picking.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. And I suppose Fields has got room to grow. We don't know how much room there is in that ceiling, but look, we hope they can sort of get a bit of production out of him. Now, the only other coach that has been named, and this will be music to your ears, and hoping the second follows, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator from the Green Bay Packers, has signed as the Denver Broncos head coach. They're also looking for new owners as they're trying to sell the franchise. Maybe Aaron Rodgers can buy the franchise and also play a QB for them.
Yeah, look, love it. Love everything about it. Obviously, just the dominoes slowly falling over one by one and stacking up and ready for the big dog to come in. I believe number 12 will probably be vacant as well, so he should slip right in.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of an upgrade over Drew Locke, just a little. But yeah, look, you got to be happy with that. I think Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator has been good the last few years, so you should be solid there. Now, looking onto the remaining head coaching spots that are open, the Texans, the Jags, the Dolphins, the Saints after Sean Payton left, and the Vikings. Now, the Vikings are the only one who've been rumored to, well, Jim Harbaugh. That is saying he might be signing there in the next few days and leaving Michigan. Do you think that would be a good hire?
I think it would be a good hire, to be honest. Harbaugh is clearly a good coach. He's been able to prove it before in the NFL, and I think then he went down to college, and he's only just recently, these past couple of years, been able to really stamp his set on college. So, and that just sort of shows it's quite two different games. And I think roster management and things like that come into play. Now, I believe that Harbaugh has actually said that he's going to stick with Michigan. Dior.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm seeing kind of conflicting things. There's a couple of things that just came out today. But yeah, again, read into it what we will. Unless Adam Schefter puts it out, we don't know what's true or not.
I know. It's interesting. But what would you think? I think, like, for me, to see Harbaugh stay with Michigan, I'd probably personally like that, because I think he's only just, what, last year was his first actual conference win, the first time they beat Ohio as well. So, and he's been there for the better part of a decade, I think, off the top of my head. So you think that if he was able to build that culture, they could actually prove into a dominant force, you know, knock Ohio State off for good. But I suppose on the flip side for him, the thing with the NFL that's obviously different with the college is your roster management. So you can have a lot more, moving pieces and a lot more stability in your NFL roster. Whereas college, you guys come in, they're out, they're in, they're out. You're sort of starting again every single year. So I don't know if it's up to sort of him whether he's interested in that sort of starting fresh every 1 or 2 years and then having to go again, or being able to build a roster that's ready for the next 5 to 10 years, essentially.
Yeah, look, and you're absolutely right. I suppose there might be a bit of writing on the wall with the defensive coordinator now. He was there for 1 year after leaving the Ravens as linebacker coach. He is now back as the Ravens defensive coordinator. the Michigan defense improved out of sight. That was probably one of the biggest changes from the previous year when they stunk, and then made huge changes. Their defense really dominated. They got guys like Aiden Hutchinson moving in from position from the interior line to the outside and just changing his game completely. David Ojabo doing the same sort of thing. Now, I don't know if because he's left, he's like, oh, okay, maybe we're not going to be so good down the stretch. And for the next few years in college, I'm going to move back to the NFL.
Yeah, correct. So I suppose we'll have to see what goes on there. Otherwise, yeah, I think they were touting one of the Lions coordinators of sorts to take that Vikings job. So we'll keep an eye on that. Adam Schefter will obviously blow his load early and we'll be able to find out a couple of days before they announce the official prep. Now, after all that, I think we got to tuck into some absolutely delicious games that we saw over the weekend. That was a great championship round, wasn't it? Starting off with the king himself, Joe Burrow. He was able to knock off Jackson Mahomes' brother and prevent him from getting to another Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. Yeah, wow. I mean, up 21-3, you've got to think Patrick Mahomes and the Chief have this in the bag. Now, this wasn't the case. And, I mean, Burrow was, I mean, credit to the Bengals. They've been absolutely unbelievable. It wasn't just him. The defense did some huge things down the stretch. A couple of intercepts, a couple of sacks, really doing their things. But looking at the difference, I suppose, Patrick Mahomes in the second half and overtime in his last two playoff losses. Now, 2020 Super Bowl, he went 17 for 30, zero touchdowns, two intercepts and a 49 passer rating. AFC Championship this year, 8 for 18, 0-2 and a 12.3 passer rating. I think some of the blame's really got to lay on Mahomes here. And I was sort of looking at the NFL scouting report. Colin Cowherd was talking about this. Mahomes' NFL scouting report was saying, yeah, this guy's got talent, his ceiling's huge. But when things are going shit, they go from bad to worse at a moment's notice. He's very impatient. Those sort of things are starting to play out a little bit. He has slumps in his game, like lots of players do, but his best to his worst can really hurt them.
Well, I think we saw that at the start of the year, didn't we? The way that they started, he just tried to put them too much on their back. He was trying to just throw his way out of his problems, and that didn't work. And they saw a lot of losses in the preseason, or early season, sorry. And then, again, same thing happened. A little bit of pressure got put on them in the second half. You know, again, this is why it's a game of two halves. They came out, Cincinnati were able to put a little bit of pressure on them, and they just crumpled. They were not able to build drives and work their way up the field, because you could see that whenever they really wanted to, they could quite easily move up the field. You know, sometimes they weren't able to get the touchdown, sure, but that Bengals line was bending a lot. So they were able to push and get quite decent meterage whenever they needed to. It was just when they tried to push the point and go big, or it wasn't, you know, a touchdown. I don't know whether he's just looking for that big play all the time. Like, surely not, but maybe sometimes he was, and that's what he wanted to, you know, ice the game, and he just wasn't getting that.
Yeah, that's right. Pushing passes when they're potentially not there in those sort of clutch moments. And we know he is clutch because he can do it. But yeah, look, Bengals, on the other hand, I mean, credit to that whole team and organization. I suppose last week we said, geez, they got away with one because he was sacked 9 times. The offensive line got absolutely broken. Burrow sacked once and 116 yards on the ground. I mean, go back to the well, fix up your problems, and then come back and drive it back again. These guys were phenomenal, did an unbelievable job, and kind of, I guess, put the rumor to bed of the OT being favored to the flip of the coin, because the defense came out and did a job. I suppose we talked about that last week, and we said the defense needs to come out and do a job. That's not just on the offense.
Yeah, well, you thought it was just going to be history repeating itself again. How do these idiots keep winning these coin tosses? And then again, Mahomes comes out and he throws that pick pretty much straight away. So, and that, again, you could see, he threw it into bad coverage and made that bad read. I don't know what he was trying to do there, because there was nothing there. But it was also a great play. And then they were able to work it down and win that game in OT. And that was just really good to watch, to be honest, because we gave these guys no respect. We assumed that these guys are too young. They're not ready. It's not their time to win yet. But here they are proving us wrong and wrong again, and they're ready to go again for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is one we can tap on the head and say we absolutely predicted a stinker. I suppose most people probably would have thought the same for the Bengals, so they've really exceeded expectations. I guess the best thing that's come out of the playoffs for the Bengals for me is Evan McPherson. Unbelievable rookie kicker. Just the oozes confidence, I suppose. To get into the AFC Championship, he was so confident he was going to nail it. This one he just nailed. I love the guy.
Yeah, he's lights out, isn't he? And you can tell that's what you want from your kicker. Because that's the thing. When you don't hear about them, that's good. But most of the time when they're in the press, they're negative. This guy's flipped the switch. Everything he does is just the Midas touch, man. He's so golden.
Oh, absolutely. And I suppose this is interesting because I suppose whenever we talk about the quarterback class, going back, Joe Burrow sort of didn't get a mention because he was his second year and we sort of didn't see much from him. Herbert gets talked about, Tua gets talked about to an extent. But we did hear that the Dolphins wanted to give up plenty to get that top pick to take Joe Burrow. So there must have been a lot of things that people liked from him. The Bengals obviously got the man they wanted and it's paid dividends in year two.
Yeah, well, we can't forget. We were literally talking about 2 years ago how much of a generational talent Joe Burrow was, how he dominated the college scene. He came out, he wiped everyone over in just a perfect year, a perfect year. No one's ever done it as best as him. He set records, took LSU to the top, all done. All said and done, yes, he did his ACL. And then along comes the guys like Trevor Lawrence and these guys. Oh, this is just generational talent. It's like, we can't have generational talent every second year, all right? Let's just relax. Proof is in the pudding. We'll see next year, maybe. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, a bit tougher situation. But you can also argue that Joe Burrow, again, pretty tough situation at the Bengals. They haven't had it all that easy as well. So he's clearly proving everyone wrong every step of the way. And he's come back better than ever. He's doing it without an O-line that we said he should have drafted with a guy called Jamar Chase. And They're just having fun out there. They're balling. It's a great thing to watch. And you just enjoy what they do.
Yeah, look, he could be the first guy. I think, is it the first player to ever win the Heisman, the National Championship, and the Super Bowl?
Correct, yes. And all in the space of 2 years in the league. Go figure.
Yeah, well, almost essentially 1 year, I suppose, with that injury. So, yeah, look, I guess we'll move on to the next game in a second, but the Bengals have just exceeded expectation. I think it's a tick for the season, even if they lose.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Another tick, this was another team that was based on a trade, new QB, new year, new them, and they've managed to make it all the way to the playoffs as well. And the Super Bowl, the LA Rams topped the San Francisco 49ers 20-17. How did you view this one?
Stafford's that guy. We sort of questioned the trade. I know they gave up a bit. We like Stafford, and I suppose he played for so many years for an organization that really struggled. And people talked about, oh, yeah, look, he's had the most fourth quarter comebacks, but he plays for Detroit. Well, there's a reason he has the most fourth quarter comebacks. He does play for Detroit, but he's also that guy in that situation. And that's when the Rams needed him most. And he just delivered again. He was unbelievable for me.
Yeah, no, he was great, wasn't he? And I think he just went back to the well with those guys, Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. The Rams have done a good job. What they've shown is they've been able to get all the pieces at the right time. Yes, they're not going to have any draft picks. Yes, they're not going to have any future for a little while, but they've gone out, they've got guys, and they've got pieces that are ready to win now, and they've done it. They've won now. So similarly, like to Tampa Bay last year, I'd say, when they brought in Brady and it just all clicked, they brought in Stafford, they've added a couple other pieces, and it's all just clicked at the absolute right time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I suppose you could think at the start of the season when Cam Akers goes down, you think, shit, this is going to be bad for them. Running back's a bit of a struggle. They've got nothing. And then a bit more adversity. Tyler Higbee went down in this game. You think, shit, there goes his top tight end. Doesn't matter. Still delivered. Now, going to the other side of the coin, we see the 49ers. Now, the 49ers probably exceeded expectations with Jimmy G. Now, he's probably one of the most scrutinized players in the NFL at quarterback. His winning record is very good, but he'll win you far enough, but won't get you all the way there. I mean, two of the last Super Bowls, he could have been in two of the last three Super Bowls had they won this game. And that's crazy to think, but I think he gets you far enough without getting you all the way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You look at his stats and he's fairly good. He had quite a good game on the weekend as well, just throwing over 50%, 230 yards, two TDs and one interception. So certainly was able to deliver. You would be happy with that on any day if you got the W, but they didn't. Yep. And I think that's the thing. You watch him play and you go, I don't actually feel comfortable when he has the ball in hand. And that's possibly the biggest issue about it. You're not sort of sitting there. It's like when you've got Stafford or Brady, and you're like, okay, I can back this guy to, you know, make a couple throws here and there in the clutch or whatever. As soon as it gets to third down and long, you're like, well, we're going to punt the ball, aren't we? See you later.
Yeah, look, there is issues in his game and they're very clear as day. I suppose he's very well liked by the locker room and he didn't flinch when they drafted a QB. He sort of just went about his business and he was injured in these playoffs and still played really well. I suppose, but then as we said, the last two teams, sorry, if you go into the playoffs, teams that are leading by 10 points in the fourth quarter are 19-2. The only two losses are Jimmy G, both games. I think one in the Super Bowl, one in this game. So as we just said, I don't think he'll take you far enough. However, I suppose they move on to the Trey Lance era, and we'll probably talk about that in a second. But Jimmy G, do we see him move to somewhere like Denver or Pittsburgh? They draft a quarterback, put him in for a year. You don't have to give up that much because he actually is injured at the moment. So could you see them move to that sort of, like he could go to one of those teams and have a quarterback under him again?
Yeah, I think that would be a really smart player, to be honest, because you've got a guy that's been through the Patriots system. He's clearly shown that he can be quite good at what he does as well. And he's sort of at that age as well, and he's been a starter for a couple of years, that you'd be happy for him to nurture the next generation. He clearly hasn't come in and, you know, hated Trey Lance because he's about to usurp his throne. And that's fine. He understands that's the business and that's how it's got to be. So to make himself better and the organization better, he's happy to go about his work, because the better he is, the better the kid under him is going to get, but also the more playing time he's going to get, in a roundabout way, if you followed what I just said.
Yeah, look, I was putting all the pieces together, the cogs were turning. I do agree. And for a team like Denver, I suppose if you don't get that home run hit in Aaron Rodgers, he is a serviceable guy. There is guys out there that will be looking for Jimmy G. There are teams out there that will be looking for his services. And I guess we'll see where he ends up. Now, moving to Trey Lance, it'd be interesting to see how this team goes with Trey Lance next year. Now, you've got a division with Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, and who is our other one? Well, Russell Wilson at the moment, but they'll probably change. It's a tough division. The NFC West is a really hard one, so we'll see. He could have his troubles next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Baptism of fire, and considering how well they've gone, I'm sure the fans out in San Francisco are only going to want to expect more and more success. You know, as you said, they're in the Super Bowl 2 years removed. Now they're back in the NFC Championship. I'm sure they'd want nothing less, but it's going to be tough. Kyler Murray is obviously going to come back better than always. I think Seattle's going to have a bit of a tough year for the next year or two, potentially. So there is some scope, especially with that wild card in the NFC at the moment. They could squeeze in there. But as well, as we said, the Rams may not be that good for the next couple of years as well. They might keep another year or two. But outside of that, long-term, this looks like a Kyler Murray, Trey Lance type division. So I'm sure if he can stamp his authority early on, he can make a good run.
Yeah, it's true. I suppose 49ers won't be down for long if they are. Seattle's probably the same. I suppose if they can cash in on Russell Wilson and get a few picks, as you said, won't take them long to really bounce back, depending on what they do with Pete Carroll as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose what we'll do, we'll touch on a little bit of the Super Bowl, but we'll go a bit more in-depth next week. Early predictions, Bengals, Rams, what are your thoughts?
Geez, this is a tough one for me. Now, I've been going against the Bengals pretty hard because they're in my division, but it's almost like the fairy tale is too good to pass up, but I think I'm going to have to enjoy the Matty Stafford party home for Super Bowl. If they can, I mean, 2 in 2 years now, if they can get the win, this is just huge for Stafford. Because, I mean, as we talked about just a moment ago, being in the Lions for so long, this man has been through the absolute shit and he's come out of it, gone to a franchise that's going to be capable of winning. So I'm going to stick with the Rams for now, but things can change very quickly. What about you?
Yeah, it's hard. I don't want to be a fence sitter, but I'm really for both guys. As you said, Matty Stafford and all those Rams guys absolutely deserve this. Good guys like Cooper Kupp, or also OBJ. I wouldn't hate to see OBJ win a ring. But to be honest, I got to go the Bengals, baby. We're going to go Joe Burr. I'm all over him, to be honest. I just think I cannot get enough of him. I've got to go 100%. The best thing that I think we're going to see, though, is going to be the matchup between Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Ramsey. That's going to be hot, and I think that'll be your decider.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that, and I'm going to say there's probably two good matchups, actually, when I talk about it, because our man Eli Apple from Bengals Corner has been – I mean, he's been getting smoked, but he's been talking absolute garbage on Twitter, and he is coming up against our boy Cooper Kupp as well. So, I mean, there's going to be some cracking matchups. And then, I guess, as we said, the Bengals offensive line versus Aaron Donald and our boys, there's just juicy matchups all over the field. Who do you think, as you just said, will get the better out of Ramsey and Chase?
Oh, geez. I got to say Ramsey, he knows how to lock someone down. And I think he knows how to get under people's skin. Although we've seen Chase be unstoppable, to be honest. I just think Jalen Ramsey is going to rise to the occasion. He loves this sort of shit, doesn't he? He just loves getting stuck
into it. Oh, he does. It's going to be brilliant. I'm actually super keen for this. I suppose we're looking forward in 2 weeks' time. We'll probably touch on it more, as you said, next week. Now, I guess in the interim, we have the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Pro Bowl, AFC versus NFC. I believe it's in Las Vegas this year. It's moving around in Allegiant. We have the Skills Showdown comes up. There's a dodgeball game, QB throwing challenge. I think there's a wide receiver catching one as well, a couple others. So a bit of fun on in the weekend. If you're free, check it out. It's quite good to watch sometimes. But then the actual Pro Bowl game, and I think, is this probably going to be one of the first ones that Mahomes is actually playing at? I think he's been in the Super Bowl most years he's been in the league, hey?
Oh, pretty much, yeah. He's either there and about or just hasn't played. So we could see him. And I suppose, I think Mac Jones is now coming in because, like, Lamar and Josh Allen pulled the pin on it. I mean, these rosters change every day with guys opting out. But I mean, sometimes it's pretty exciting. You don't see the best of football, but it's pretty fun to watch. And as you said, some of those skill challenges are great. Thread the Needle is back this year. If we haven't seen that one before, quarterbacks going up against DBs, just trying to thread the needle, hitting the holes and the DBs are going against him.
Yeah, it's just a good fun day out, isn't it? Wholesome NFL football at its best. Everyone out and fun in the sun. Although, actually, they're under the roof this time again. so I keep forgetting every second stadium has a roof now. But, no, it is always an enjoyable game. And myself, as I'm, as you said, unemployed, so I'll be able to watch that one, get around me, and we'll get on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it is a bit of fun, and I suppose we're just building for the next 2 weeks. So I guess we'll try and keep – we haven't been as active on the socials, so we've been pretty busy, but now we've got a bit of free time. We'll be back hitting it hard.
Yeah, can't wait. We'll see you all next week. Catch you then.
Cheers.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.